Well, hello. You're listening to Hypocritical, a podcast by Hypocritic GG. I'm Lou, some call me Cheatspeak, and we have a special episode here, a review that is exclusive to the podcast, Angry Video Game Nerd 8-Bit. Oh boy. Quick disclaimer up front before we get going. This review was conducted on Steam Deck via a review copy provided by publisher Retroware. The thoughts, impressions, and score contained here are entirely our own. We received neither editorial guidance nor compensation for this review from anyone associated with Angry Video Game Nerd 8-Bit. We take great pride in offering unfiltered and uninfluenced takes on new releases, and we'd like to remind you of that. So let's get rolling. Angry Video Game Nerd, as a character, as a brand, as a series, is something of an internet icon. If you spend any time on this brilliant series of tubes of ours, especially where game stuff is related, you have no doubt crossed paths with AVGN at some point. It is, of course, a web series first and foremost created by James Rolfe in the early to mid 2000s, depending on when you consider it exactly kind of kicking off. And it really was a pioneer of web-first game reviews, comedy, and video production, especially in its era. When you think back to the early to mid-2000s, when YouTube was still nascent, if it existed at all, depending on when exactly you're thinking about this, how did you get most of your gaming information and reviews and opinions? Either probably through a gaming magazine like Nintendo Power, Game Informer, fill in the blank, or dedicated TV shows like X-Play on networks like G4 or Tech TV. You remember that? That I sprouted 10 more gray hairs just mentioning those names. Sad. And yet here we are. So as YouTube kind of came into its own and a lot of this discourse started to shift online in greater and greater numbers and in greater volumes, Angry Video Game Nerd was really at the forefront of a lot of what we would now know as familiar internet discourse and reviewing around video games. There have been decades worth of episodes comprising that AVGN series, the core series, but it has obviously expanded well past just internet videos to become its own genuine kind of multimedia brand and IP. There was an indie movie produced for it, Angry Video Game Nerd the Movie, which people certainly have opinions about, and multiple retro-style games. And the latest beyond the internet effort in that same vein is AVGN 8-Bit. So let's start talking about it. For all intents and purposes, to really lay the foundation here, AVGN 8-Bit is essentially, it's Mega Man. Let's call a spade here. You boot it up, you get a hub screen to select, you know, basically one of six stages with the boss's face up front, and then you get dropped into very familiar gameplay if you've touched a Mega Man game in your life ever. You're platforming, you're sliding around, you're shooting with upgradable weapons and abilities, and you get a big bad baddie to fight at the end of what is generally a gauntlet of a stage, focusing on different mechanics and abilities and platforming challenges in different ways. So that's the foundation for AVGN 8-Bit. Very familiar, but very good, as we will discuss. Inventively, though, at least in the console and PC versions of this, the game frames itself as what is basically an interactive episode of Angry Video Game Nerd, and a good one at that, which I think is a really, really fun way to do this. There is a bit of plot on offer. We'll go spoiler-free for this, so if you are familiar with the series, you want to be excited by this, you know, we won't spoil it for you. A familiar character from the series, that's all I'm going to say, possesses the nerd's NES. And the game that you play, AVGN 8-Bit, is essentially created during the episode as an amalgamation of some of the nerd's most hated titles throughout the decades as a way to drive the spirit out. You playing the game basically represent the nerd's gameplay as it goes, with cutscenes from him detailing your progress and moving the plot along as you go through and beat individual bosses. The humor, the tone, the vibes of the whole thing, they all adhere closer to a much older episode of AVGN than anything I would say that's come out in recent years, while the production values feel more elaborate than I think we've seen from the series in quite some time. So if you're looking for more of that loose, fun energy that maybe some of the older episodes had, you're gonna get it here, and that'll be really exciting for longtime fans of the series. For a little context here, you know, I have followed the AVGN series for a very long time. You know, 2007, 2008 was probably when I really picked up on it and started thoroughly enjoying it. Might have even still been associated with Screw Attack at the time, if that rings any bells for anybody. I wouldn't call myself a hardcore fan or even a fervent fan of AVGN by any means. It's something I've always enjoyed. It's something that I kept up with when I was younger. And now, obviously, as time has gone on, you know, I'll catch a new episode every now and then. But it's not something that's kind of constantly on my radar, if that makes sense. So that's the lens through which I'm viewing this whole experience. We'll talk about how it will resonate or not with, you know, less familiar fans and people who don't know the series as well, but we will get there. Let's talk about how it plays first. And I am happy to report that it plays very, very well. And again, because it is so close to those kind of organic Mega Man experiences on the NES, if you've ever played one of them, you're going to feel right at home. These Mega Man-esque games hang on a few key elements generally to make their experiences and their gameplay solid and high quality. You know, responsive controls, obviously. Engaging level design, sure. Fair enemy challenge, yes. Intense boss fights, all right. Every box that we just listed is checked here in AVGN 8-bit in some capacity. Some a little more heavily than others, I would say. The controls feel very natural, especially, again, if you've played any of the NES Mega Man titles, you're going to feel right at home here. The distance to which you can jump, the speed of your slide, the feel of the weapons, the layout, and the general sort of level design philosophy is all going to feel very familiar. And generally, I think that's a good thing. It provides that very familiar, well-worn experience in that genre that people, especially people who grew up with these games and probably have some sort of AVGN background, will really appreciate. Your gun and your weapon throughout the game is basically the NES Zapper, which is fun. And it gets stronger as you go when you collect kind of multiple power-ups throughout each stage, giving it additional capabilities, more firepower, and generally making you more dangerous. You start out, you know, shooting little puff pellets basically very, very slowly, and then as you grow your strength, you're eventually shooting multiple bullets at the same time, bigger and bigger streams of fire, eventually this kind of big wall of just bullet energy going all the way across the screen. It's really powerful stuff as you go. And if you play well enough to maintain that level of power and ability, it really opens up how much fun the game becomes. And we'll touch on that shortly. Level design and enemy encounters broadly are generally pretty well thought out with few hiccups. Again, you can really feel the Mega Man DNA in this in terms of how enemies are introduced, what sort of platforming challenges you're faced with. It's all, again, very kind of familiar territory. Rarely, not always, but rarely do deaths or missteps feel like anything other than your fault as a player who didn't have the skill to progress past that particular section. I think this is an important point where, you know, quote unquote, get good is kind of the driving design paradigm here, just as it was in a lot of those older titles. Where you start to hit a bit of a wall is where it starts to feel a little bit too hard or a little bit too unaccommodating, especially in a more modern context where the difficulty ceilings on a lot of these titles simply aren't what they used to be. You may know, at least in part, a lot of those old games from the NES generation, the SNES generation, even before those two, were hard in part because they were so short. And especially in home console releases, in order for people to get their money's worth and be playing for a long time, developers tended to stretch the experience by making things really, really hard. Thankfully, it doesn't strictly adhere to that as its own design philosophy. You get three difficulty levels, basically, that help ease the barrier to entry at the lower end while providing options at the higher end for those who like throwing themselves at something challenging and who relish that sort of old school approach to game design and difficulty in a video game. So there is a little bit of something for everyone in that respect, and it's not something where you're gonna get bogged down if it's too hard. It's not something where you're going to get bored because it's too easy. You can kind of find a middle ground that works for you there. Boss fights are hard. They are remarkably challenging at times, sometimes maybe a little too hard, but there are kind of caveats and accommodations made there too. If you die a few times in a row in a single stage and you have the lives to get there, the game will spawn an optional, I got to emphasize optional, basically God mode companion who is a fun surprise and familiar, I think, to loyal AVGN viewers. Again, I won't spoil it. that basically automatically takes out enemies in your path and completely decimates bosses, at least the ones that we happen to try it against. It's not a complete win button where you still have to traverse stages and you need to be careful about exactly what you're doing, but it definitely is a massive, massive help to get you over the hump if you're really struggling with something. It's not unlike a power-up like the optional Super Leaf in something like Super Mario 3D Land or World or whichever titles have those options, you know, where the game will basically either play it for you or show you the path or whatever it is. Again, it's a nice accommodation to keep frustration levels lower than they otherwise would be in situations where you may be tempted to sort of put it away and it's feeling a little too NES hard, if that makes sense. So that's a lot of what works. What kind of doesn't work? And we got to touch on a couple of these things. It's basically two main points that I narrowed in on and really focused on. While, again, the game is mostly tough but fair, with fair being the operative word there, there are a few kind of old school design quirks that leak in from time to time that do dull the edge of the knife, so to speak. The biggest one is probably knockback. Everyone's familiar with, you know, getting knocked back in a platformer or in a side scroller where you fall off an edge and die because you clipped an enemy or something ran into you and you just got pushed off the platform you were standing on. That's a thing here in Angry Video Game Nerd 8-Bit as well. And it can cause some unfair deaths or certainly some unfortunate ones, especially in situations where you're not necessarily able to avoid that hit or avoid the knockback or position yourself somewhere that would prevent you from dying. Naturally, when this happens toward the end of the stage on your final life, the rage can set in a little bit, but I wouldn't say that it's to any sort of unnecessary or unfair extreme. Again, if that makes sense, it is an unfortunate byproduct of a lot of, again, these old school kind of design sensibilities, but it's not a showstopper by any means. What does kind of impact a little bit more is how the gunplay works, especially regarding those power-ups. So like I said, your gun gains extra abilities and power as you gather power-ups throughout a specific stage, but it also loses power tiers as you get hit. And there's next to no after-hit invincibility. So you can very easily get into situations where you're getting hit rapid fire by enemies, you know, 2, 3, 4 strikes in a row, whittling down your health. And that whittles down how powerful your gun is as well. So it's very easy to snowball yourself into situations throughout the game where it quickly becomes harder the worse you do. And that's not necessarily a good feeling. It's obviously incentive to play well and get good and learn the layout and adhere to those design philosophies. But at the same time, again, when you get stuck in situations where you can't avoid getting hit or it's not your fault, because it is the case that, you know, sometimes it's just not, getting additional punishment like that served toward you is not always super fun. So there are, you know, moments of frustration throughout, maybe more than you might expect. But again, it's nothing necessarily game-breaking, and the majority of the game plays quite well and is fun as a result. On the whole, it's obviously very geared toward the AVGN faithful, and there are tons of references and bits of lore and fun inside jokes that fans will certainly appreciate. Generally, though, fans of retro titles like this, whether or not you're super involved with AVGN, will probably find a lot to appreciate in that it basically is just almost like a reskinned Mega Man. And if you like that sort of thing, especially accurate Mega Man, almost something like Mega Man 9 or 10 comes to mind, there's a lot here to like. And it looks great. It looks really period accurate. The graphics are quite nice, especially for an accurate NES title. It looks pretty good. This is always, though, an interesting idea to discuss. And it's something that, you know, I've been mulling a lot, especially with IPs like this with really, really dedicated niche fan bases. How far do you lean into that sort of thing? If you lean really, really heavily into fan service, inside jokes, established lore, all those kinds of things, you will inevitably please more hardcore fans who are assumedly making up the core player base who will be buying it in the first place, right? But can this come at the expense of more casual players or non-fans who will potentially not interact with or indulge in your product now because they don't really feel like they're connecting with it or feels a little too kind of over their head? Now, generally, I think maybe you find that it's better to lean into the former rather than the latter, because the more you try to expand to a non-core audience, the more diluted the experience tends to become. But there's kind of pros and cons to both sides. This is definitely a Discord discussion topic. I'm sure people have thoughts on it. I won't come down too heavily on it one way or the other here. Suffice it to say, if you don't know Angry Video Game Nerd as a series, as an IP, as a brand, as a character, pretty much none of what's happening here will make sense. You'll be able to follow along, but you obviously won't connect with it and it won't really resonate. So essentially, you'll be left with what is a generic NES platformer slash shooter slash Mega Man clone as a result. Admittedly, though, it is a very good one, and that's always nice to see. So when you put it all together, Angry Video Game Nerd 8-Bit gets 4 gloobies out of 5. It is yet another example of a period-accurate retro throwback like Rugrats Adventures in Gameland, for example, that hits its mark. It is, in our estimation, the best AVGN-based game to date and a very good old-school platformer slash shooter in its own right. Angry Video Game Nerd 8-Bit is available now for PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox One, Series S and X, Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch 2, I believe, and PC. Physical versions, as well as an actual NES cartridge release courtesy of Limited Run Games, are expected at a later date, later meaning beyond, when we're releasing this podcast on October 23rd, 2025. Sound off in the Discord on any of these topics, and there is a lot to talk about. How familiar are you with AVGN? Did you indulge in the series when you were younger? Is this game on your radar? Have you played some of the other AVGN games? What are your thoughts on it leaning too far into being a fan service experience versus courting people who aren't familiar? So much to talk about. Please do so in the Discord. Hypocritic.gg is your hub for all things Hypocritic. Check out our live streams, convention coverage, video reviews, industry interviews, and more. And join our Discord community where you can react to topics we discuss here on the podcast and get the inside scoop on what's coming next from us. Thanks so much for listening. Stay fresh, cheese bags. We'll catch you back here real soon.